move that one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there's no doubt that we're in the last of the last days. There's no doubt. If you know anything about the Bible, okay, I'm not trying to sell books or CDs or TV program or something or get headlines. I'm just stating facts. It is no doubt, if you read the Bible at all, you have any scriptural knowledge at all, there's no doubt that we're in the last of the last days. Now let me help you understand. The last days started the day they nailed him on that cross.
That's right.
But we're near the end than we used to be. Amen? And if he doesn't come in my lifetime, I will be shocked. Apostle Paul thought he'd come in his lifetime. Peter thought he'd come in his lifetime. But I think that he's going to come in my lifetime.
Amen.
And it's getting dark, folks. It's getting dark. And with all the technology and all the running to and fro, and the knowledge is increasing, but with all of that, sin increases too. Sin increases too. And sin is just rampant. From the pulpit to the pew, it's rampant now. And the homes are destroyed, and the families are destroyed, and I've prayed some people get mad at me this morning preaching about getting their children addicted, introducing them to people that they're all about the gospel. But I'm sorry. That is urgent business. Yes, this is urgent business.
Yes.
The trumpet's about to sound.
Yes.
We're in the last round. It's coming, folks. I'm telling you, it's coming. And with all the prosperity and stuff, don't let that fool you. That hadn't changed the sin factor. Matter of fact, the richer people get, the more they sin. The less they think they need God. Yeah. So I got to think about that today. We're in the last of the last days. Now, preaching like that's what got me under conviction. Books like that's what got me under conviction. I sensed an urgency. There was an urgency that I needed to get saved because time was running out. If not only my life, the time period was running out. And so that drew me to the gospel. That's the same thing that draws people to Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists, because that's all they talk about is the end of the world and the second coming, Armageddon, things like that. So I would assume in the group we're in tonight, I'd say all of us, if not all of us, believe that. Wouldn't you assume that tonight? I would. It used to be you could assume that in any fundamental Baptist church. Used to be you could assume that in any Baptist church. But not anymore. No, sir. No, sir. They'll run you out. A lot of churches you get talking like this. They'll run you out. Because you'll be negative. You're negative. We want positive, you know. We don't want problems. We want answers, you know, things like that. But I would assume in this church, in this crowd, that everybody would be in agreement with that.
Amen.
So I'm not going to preach an expose of the second coming. What I want to do is, if it's the last days, what do we do now? What do we do now? Now, a lot of people will agree it's the last days, but they have no idea what to do about that. I'm talking about preachers too.
Yeah.
They have no idea. They'll say, yes, yeah, the last days and the end's coming and the rapture's going to happen and the dead in Christ are rising and we'll go up to meet them in the air and then Jesus is coming back in all his glory and we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and then the devil will be loosed and then for a period, a short time, a season, and he'll turn the world against Christ again, and then God will have to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we'd all agree on that. But what do we do right now? What do you do with that right now? Do you join the Jehovah's Witness and go door to door and talk about nothing but the end of the world? Do you join the Seventh-day Adventists and become legalists and say, if you're going to be a part of resurrection, you can't eat pork? You can't eat shrimp. Can't eat frog legs. I don't know how anybody go to heaven. Especially with the frog legs. Say amen, Brother Mike. Amen. There's going to be frog legs in heaven. You watch one of these. And Tabasco sauce to put on them. Put your little manna on them. Set them out in the sunlight of the Son of God. Let them warm up. Throw your little Tabasco sauce on there. And then get you a drink of water out of the River of Life. Go over and get some dessert off the tree of life. Get you 12 manner of fruits. Just get you a fruit. Well, we're going to have it made. Amen? Y'all ain't never thought about spiritual stuff? I'm going to teach you the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. That's in there, frog leg. That's what the Egyptians ate. But what do we do? What do we do? We know it's the end. All right, now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read all 17 verses. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, why would you say that? Here it is. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the number one root right there. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We can stop right there and say it's the end. I mean, that abounds today that we live in. Look at verse 3. Without natural affection. My wife saw something the other day about a woman and her child or something. But that's what that means. Without natural affection. The love of a mother toward a child, or a child toward its mother, or a father toward a son, or a son toward a father, or a husband toward... natural affection. Something you're just born with. And we don't see much of that anymore. Without natural affection. Look at this. Truth breakers. Can't believe a word they say. Then they turn around and lie on you. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Boy, I'm telling you, ain't there's that rainbow flag right there. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. There's our crooked government officials. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the average Baptist church member right there. Having a form of godliness, they look good. But denying, look at this, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Stay away from these people. They say. But wait a minute, go back to the first verse. Last days. Last days, okay? Now, look at verse 6. For this sort, what sort? Those who have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, those traitors, heady, liars, false accusers, covetous boasters, for this are the sort which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. That's those worldly women. Worldly churches are full of them. And these people are in the churches. And ever learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They can quote you scripture. They have no idea what it means. They have no idea. They done been to Bible college. They still have no idea, Brother Hallroyd, what it means. They'll pastor a church, take a pulpit, ever learning, still studying, but have no idea what this stuff means because they're lost and they're blind, see. Now, never able to come to the knowledge of truth, which is Jesus Christ. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, they led in rebellion against the man of God and his leadership, if you remember them and Korah. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate means they couldn't believe if they wanted to. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. In other words, you'll know by their fruits. You'll know who they are. It's not hard to figure out a liar and a crook. Amen? It's not hard. Now, listen to this. He said, but they shall proceed no further. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. Listen. He said, you knew what I was. Long-suffering, charity, patience. He said, that's my testimony. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He's talking about the last days now. We're in the last days. By the way, if you ain't being persecuted, it's because they don't know that you're a Christian. If you was the right kind of Christian, you'd be persecuted because they'd know it. Yea, and all that live godly will in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He said, you was raised right. You know what the Bible says. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. And it's profitable for reproof, and it's profitable for correction, and it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's what it says. Yes. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doesn't mean sinless, means mature, grown up. You don't pick a plum till it's perfect.
Right.
It doesn't mean it doesn't have any flaws, but it's time to eat it. It's mature. So tonight I want to take just a few minutes to share with you the last days and what do we do now.
Amen.
I got thinking today in 2 Corinthians we see the departure, 2 Timothy we see the departure and the declension of the faith from the faith in Jesus Christ. People leaving it. It's declining. You don't see the right kind of churches booming. I'm sorry to say that and I hate to say that. But it's declining. The whole world around, there's less believers this year than there were last year. Alright? In 2 Corinthians, we see the devil and his deception in these last days. In 2 Peter, we see the deniers and the doom of the last days. Earth will be melted with fervent heat. In 2 John, we see the deceivers of the last days. Now, all of this warns us of these things. But when was the last time you heard a sermon on television about deception and devils and liars and crooks and all that stuff? So here's what we do. Number one, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves." It's not of you. Not of you. Not of works. No, sir. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And guess what? He gave you the faith. You didn't even have the faith. You came to Him, He put the faith in you. Amen? Somebody said, "Keep the faith." I said, I don't keep it. He put it in me, He'll keep it. Amen? So what are we doing the last days? Well, we trust His grace. The same grace that saved us, that same grace will go with us through all our suffering. He just described His suffering. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He says His grace is sufficient, doesn't He? His grace is sufficient. No matter what it is. So in the last days, as we're being assailed and we're being assaulted for what we believe about Jesus Christ, we just keep remembering that it's by the grace of God we're saved anyway. And by the grace of God, He'll help us, and we can serve through that grace. We can serve one another through that grace of God. Now, I thought about this. In Romans 8:28, we like to talk about all things work together for the good of them that love God. Those called according to His purpose, He says. Now, that's the grace of God that sustains you.
Yes.
And I know all things are not good, but the grace of God is good. And the grace of God will sustain us in these last days. You say, "Well, I lost friends over my faith." Well, the grace of God will take care of that.
Amen.
"Well, I've lost family because of my faith." The grace of God will take care of you. Hey, whatever it is, in these last days, whether we attack, they can burn the building down next week. We'll go out there under that big, those two or three big trees out there and have church and sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saves a Wretch Like Me." People say, "Ain't you scared of Muslims?" Not one iota. I'm not scared of... I haven't been scared of any man since I got saved.
Amen.
Since the day I got saved.
Amen.
And I've been threatened.
Amen.
I always tell them, you can't threaten me with heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to kill you. Well, you can't. That's not a threat to me. Amen. Now, don't hurt me. I'll need a grace to go through the hurting, you know. I can't take pain. But the grace of God will do it. He'll take care of you in these last days. And then I thought about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1-2. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, most of you already know it. I know you already know it, but turn over there anyway. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, they're up there, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we're in a race. These last days, it's a race to the finish line. Amen? Well, how are we going to do that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And look at this. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, in these last days, we're going to trust His grace. Amen? In these last days, we're going to look for sustaining grace and suffering grace. And we're going to look for serving grace. But also in these last days, we're going to run the race He gave us.
Yeah.
We're going to run. I don't care if the stadium burns down, you're supposed to keep running.
Right.
Amen. I don't care if everybody quits running, you're supposed to keep running.
Right.
You get your eyes on the prize, that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You don't look back, you don't look sideways, you keep looking at Him, and He'll get you to the end of this.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, what about Russia? I'm not looking at Russia. I'm looking at Him.
Yeah.
What about the Chinese? I'm not looking at the Chinese. I'm looking at Him. What about Iran? I'm not worried about Iran. I'm looking at Him. I'm looking to hear the trumpet. It's ridiculous how people will be sidetracked.
Yeah.
Well, somebody hurt me. Well, get up, get over it, and keep running. Amen?
Amen.
The end is almost here. You're almost at the end. When a runner falls down, you know what to do? They get up. A real runner gets up. You know, there's a lot of Christians that think they're in the race. They ain't never started running in the first place.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. They don't know it's a race. And what they think is a race is nothing but common everyday problems that even sinners have. If they ever got in the race, they'd see it's a whole lot different running for Christ than it is running for their selfish reasons. Amen? But so, as the last days approach, and as we listen for the sound of the trumpet, and we look for the dead to rise, and we look to be caught up together with them in the air, we keep running.
Amen.
And the Christian life is a race.
Yeah.
Now, we're not racing to win, we're already winners.
Right.
We're just racing to finish the race, that's all. We're just racing to cross the line, amen? Brother Tom runs a lot of races. I know he don't look like it. He's too big, but he runs some races. And but you know what? He don't ever look around and see who's still running and say, well, ain't nobody else running. I can quit. No, that's not why he's running. He's running across the line. And if he looked back, he'd stumble. And if he started worrying about how everybody else was running, he'd quit.
Yeah.
Becky used to run cross country. Boy, she'd run. I feel sorry for her after they'd run through these hills and through the dirt and cross a creek and up through the woods. I'd feel kind of sorry for her. But there was a woman out there, she drove her daughter to the finish line every time. She got out and run! 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 Scream! And I embarrassed that poor little teenage girl to death. And I thought, why don't she shut up? Because she wanted the girl to stay in the race and keep running. I don't know if she ever won a race, but she ran. Now, the Christian life is a race, not to be saved.
Right.
Mm-mm. We're already winners.
Amen. Yes.
We've already got the victory.
Amen.
We're running for His glory.
Amen.
And for His honor. And when we win, you know, you go to those Roman races and they'd run, you know, the original Olympics and all that stuff and the Greeks. And they'd have that little crown of plants and leaves on it, you know, representing eternity or some kind of god or something, you know. And whenever they finish, they get one of those crowns. Well, when we finish our Christian life, we get up to heaven. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to get crowns.
Amen.
And one of them's for faithfulness. That's called running the race.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are not going to finish the race. They're going to lay down. They're going to sit down. And he said, laying aside every weight which does so easily beset us, they're going to pick up weight to where they can't run. I'm talking about sinful things, unnecessary things. And I never forget, I went to hear Brother Sammy Allen preach one time. Boy, y'all, I wish y'all. Wow. But anyway, you remember him, don't you? And he got the priest on running the race, and he brought him a big old, a pillowcase. He started walking around. He got this little boy, and he started walking around filling that pillowcase up with songbooks. That little boy. Yeah, that little boy walking. He said, "Keep going, boy. Keep going. Don't give up." But then he started taking them out. And he said, "That's what that means. Laying aside these weights that so easily beset us." Some people could have run the race to church tonight. They didn't do it, not because they're sick or couldn't do it, but because they have weight they're carrying that's unnecessary. You know, they've addicted themselves to some race or ball game or something. But the point is, we shouldn't ever give up.
Right.
And I preached that sermon several times. I know y'all have heard part of it at least. Hit the reset button. If you fall down, get up, push the reset button, and start running again. Amen?
Yes.
Some of y'all falling down. We've all fallen down. But we get up, we brush it off, we say, "Lord, forgive me, I don't want to be like that. That's not me, that's the old me." And I'm back in the race.
Amen.
I told y'all when I was 14, I was in that car wreck, and I was driving from the back seat. That little Opel car, 1955 Opel. And that old boy, me and him, was down at his mom and dad's house in Kershaw, and they were rich. They had two houses. Mama rented a house for $10 a week, and they had an old Opel in the yard that just wouldn't run. His mom and dad left. We were supposed to be raking leaves, and he said, as soon as they went out the driveway, he said, "We're driving that car." I was 14. He was 14. Didn't even want us to have a driver's license. So he raised the hood and started messing with something, and he come out with this cable, and he said, "I want you to sit in the back seat and hold this cable. It goes to the carburetor." He said, the pedal don't work anymore, so I tied this cable on it. You pull the gas and make us go, and I'll drive and stop." The end of that cable slams that door, and I'm back there pulling that cable. We pull out that driveway. We didn't get over 35, 40 miles an hour, because really I wasn't pulling it. He done slammed the door on the cable. It was stuck where it was, you know. So we're going up those old country roads in Kershaw, and I'm in the back just having a good time, thinking I'm accelerating, you know. And he's up there driving, and we're going up this hill, and the hill starts going around like that, you know. Then we go down this hill, you know, and it's going around. And down at the bottom was a creek and a bridge. And he lays down on the floor, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to get this pedal to work." I said, "I got the gas." He said, "I'm going to get this to work." He's laying down there, and as the road turned, he's laying in his seat on the steering wheel. We're just going straight on. Till finally, we went offside the road and went down that big ditch and flipped a couple of times. And miracle, we didn't get killed. And it knocked me out, and I woke up, and I couldn't see out of this eye. And I thought, "Lord, I'm blind in my eye." And so he turned around and looked at me. He started hollering and crying. He said, "You bleed to death. You bleed to death." Had a big old cut across there. And you know how your head will bleed like crazy, you know. And we got out and climbed up on top of the car and got on top and jumped over to the bank and climbed up the bank. And he said, "You lay right down right here, and I'm going to go get us some help." He had a little old cut right there. He had four stitches in it later on. And and he was crying. I wasn't crying. I was scared. I thought I was dying. I thought I was bleeding to death. He said, "You lay down right here." We was in Kershaw, folks, out in the middle of nowhere. There ain't no hospital in Kershaw. It's a clinic if it's open, you know. And I looked at him. I said, "I ain't laying down there and bleeding to death." I said, "If I die, I'm going to die running." And I outrun him up that road, and we found a farmer out in the field, and that farmer took me to the clinic. But listen to me. As a lost sinner, I thought, "Wilt not lay down and die." And as a saint, I think, "Wilt not lay down and die." I think the old devil's going to attack, and the world's going to attack, and they're going to beat us up, and we might get killed in it. Amen. We may become a martyr ourselves, but I don't think we'll die sitting. I think we'll die running the race.
Amen.
problem with most Baptists is they're spectators. They're not runners.
Right.
And they like to see you run. And they'll cheer you on. Boy, you know, Brother Krause, he's something else, man. You go, Brother Krause. We got you back. On Sunday morning. I hope you don't get killed on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Be a week before they know it. But we got to trust His grace. We got to run the race. Now, look in Luke chapter 9, if you will. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm almost done. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Don't worry, I think something else. There. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you will. Look at verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now, if we're going to run this race, we're going to have to set our face. And I think I have the right scripture. It's the one I wrote down. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. Follow me. Now, here's what I thought about that. And listen, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Why? To fulfill the plan of God.
Yes.
To fulfill the plan of God. Now, what we need to do is start setting our face. We need to get firmly rooted and go the direction He wants to go. Even though we're in the last days, it ain't time to back up.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not time to slack up. It's time to go in the right direction. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Most people don't have it settled yet, Rudy. They don't have it settled. The day I got saved, and what little bit I knew, I got that settled.
Amen.
And then as I studied the Scriptures, went to church, was preached at, talked to, and led by example, then I said, well, if they've set their face that way, I can set my face that way.
Amen.
If they've made up their mind and they're determined to do this, then I can be like that.
Yeah.
And I decided way back then, without fear or favor, it doesn't matter what people say. It's almost at the end.
Yep.
And I'm not worried about what people say. I want to know what God says. And I don't want to follow them. I want to follow Him.
Absolutely.
See? Now, so in these last days, when the trumpet's about to sound, the dead in Christ are about to rise first, then we which are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the air. In these last days, when the tribulation period is going to come after that, and then Jesus is coming back in all His glory after that, and then we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, and then old Satan's going to be loose for a season and turn mankind against God again. And then, at the end of that, the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat, and He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And if I'm that close, why would I want to consider anything else?
Amen. Yeah.
I've never looked for anything else.
Have you?
There are no secret formulas. Every once in a while, you'll get a guy to come out with a book, and he'll say 10 reasons for this, and 10 reasons for that, and 10 ways to do this, and 10 ways to do that. You know what he's doing? He's selling books.
Yeah.
Well, see what the Bible says,
yeah.
And set your face on that,
Amen.
And say, like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And y'all go ahead and do whatever you want to. You get in that race over there, that race over there. I'm in this race, and I'm not going to get out of it. I'm going to finish this race, and I'm going to run it until He says, enter down to the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant, and I'll get my crown, and I'll turn around and give it back to Him, because it's all about Him anyway, not me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Preacher, in these last days, you think we'll sell everything we got? No. Run the race. preaching these last days, you think we ought to just move up to the mountain somewhere and sit and wait on Jesus to come? No, live your life and run the race while you're living. Amen? And go ahead and make up your mind that no matter what anybody else does, you're going to keep looking for Him, because you know it's the last days. You're going to keep running for Him, serving Him, living in His grace, enjoying His grace, because time is running out. Well, why would you do that, preacher? Last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee. I give you this charge, soldier. This is your orders. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. I know he tells him to go on and preach the word, but here's the reason what we do while we're waiting. We do what we know. We don't just sit down and wait.
Right.
Because we have a charge. We have orders. We have a master. We have a king. We have a Lord. We're not our own. We belong to Him. So what are we going to do? We'll sing that song. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, then we'll be called way home. Now, working is not going to save me, but it'll make me real glad I did it when I get there.
Amen. Yeah.
You ever been paid for something you didn't do? I have. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I like to get paid for what I do. It's the truth. You feel better about it. You feel like you earned it. Now, I know you can't earn salvation. I know you can't earn the love of Christ. I know that. But when you get to heaven, if you did what you were supposed to do in these last days, you'll get a reward and you'll feel good about it.
Amen.
There is joy in heaven. So, on Sunday night, I'm going to church. On Wednesday night, I'm going to church. If there's revival, I'm going to church. If there's Sunday school, I'm going to Sunday school. If I get the opportunity to witness, preach, or teach, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm in the race. Why wouldn't I? And I'm going to work, run hard as I can run. Fixing that. One of these Sunday nights, I'm going to arrange it with Josiah's and